This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so Parshas Kisovei. So, three ideas that I would like to share with you on this week's Parsha, three very interesting ideas. Parshas Kisovei begins with the Parsha of what's bringing Bikurim. And it talks about when the various recitations and things one says, when you bring various trumas and maestras, and there's a Parsha of what's known as Vidui Maisa. When a person brings certain maestras in years 3 and 6, and you sort of declare to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you've done everything you need to do when it comes to Trumas and Maestras. We know, by the way, there is a 7-year cycle. Every 7th year is Shemitah year. But every year, in the first 6 years, there's halachas when you sort of harvest your crop. You have to give Bikurim, the first fruit. You go down to your field, you tie the little ribbon around it, and when you harvest them, the first fruit, you bring them to the Kohanim. That's Bikurim. Then you've got Truma. Truma goes to the Kohen. You give, even in Min HaTorah, you can give a small amount. But Chazal, Masakin, you give either a 40th, 50th, or 60th. A 50th is the average, 2%. If you're very generous, you give a 40th. Less generous, a 60th. But the average is a 50th, 2%. And then you give Maisa. Maisa, as opposed to Truma, which goes to the Kohen, Maisa goes to the Levi. That's every year, Maisa Rishon. And then in addition to that, that's 10%, by the way. So far you've got Truma to the Kohen, which is 2%. Maisa to the Levi, which is 10%, that's every year, years 1 to 6. And then in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, you give Maisa Oni to the poor person. In years 3 and 6, you give Maisa Sheni. Did I get that the way around? And that is that you take up to Yerushalayim and you eat the produce in Yerushalayim. And that's a second, that's also a 10%. Now, says the Pasuk, take a look at Dvarim Chavov, the first box. If you're listening online, please email me at jdogolko@gmail.com and I will happily send you the handout. The Pasuk says, V'lokachta mereshis kol pri adom, and you take from the first of all your fruits, Asher tovi me'aretzach Hashem Elokecha, V'vaso el ha-kohen, you come to the Kohen, Asher yeh bayom mohem, V'omar toilov, and you make the following declaration, Higadeti Hashem, hayom l'Hashem Elokecha, I declare today before Hashem, Ki bos el aris asher nishba l'avosin l'ases lonu, v'lokach ha-koyach ha-tene miyodecha, the Kohen takes the basket from your hand, v'hinichu lifnei mizbeach Hashem l'kecha, and he places it in front of the mizbeach, v'oniso v'omarto, lifnei Hashem l'kecha. And you make the following, you make a declaration, Arami Oved Ovi, you tell the story, the Jewish history, the story of how he came down to Mitzrayim. V'ato hinei vesias reshis pri adomo, etc., etc. And then you say, V'gam nosatzi v'lo levi, you make that whole declaration. Now, what's very strange is that this whole declaration that you say, that once you've brought all your trumas and maestros and bikurim and everything, the declaration you make is called vidui maisa. Now, vidui, as we mentioned earlier, is confessional. Is you're saying sorry. But what have you done wrong? You've brought your trumas and maestros, and you've done it properly, you've kept the halacha exactly as it should be kept. So why is it called vidui maestras, the confessional of bringing maisa? So the Sefarno is troubled by this question, and he says something very interesting. Take a look at the second box. Bi'arti ha-kodesh min ha-bayis. I have kept all the halachas properly, I've emptied my home of trumas and maestras, and I've given them to who I should have given them to, I've kept everything. It's known as vidui maestras. I'm not sure where the expression comes from, but it's known as vidui maestras. The expression, the recitation that you say in the Beis Hamikdash is called vidui maestras. It's called the confessional. Is it based on the lashon of the pasuk? I don't think so. Chazal call it that. Where it comes from, I'm not sure, but it's known as vidui maestras. So why the Lashon of Vidui? So the Sefarno, one of the great Rishonim, picks up on this, and he says in the following, and many of the Mefarshim grapple with this, why is it called Vidui Maestras? So he says, B'chato'enu v'avonus avoseinu, hustra ha'avoidu me'abacharis. He has a very interesting explanation. He says, due to our sins, the avoido was taken away from the bacharis. In other words, plan A was that who would actually get the truma? It wouldn't be the Kohen, and the Maisa wouldn't go to the Levi. It would go to the Bechor in every family. What happened? Egel Azov came along. Klal Yisrael slipped up. Everyone was involved, apart from Shevet Levi. So now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed from plan A to plan B. And instead of giving the Trumas and Maishas to the Bechor, the oldest child in every family, it instead goes to Shevet Levi. The Kohen gets the Truma, and the Levi gets the Maisa. So Husru HaVoidu Mebechoris Asher Lohem Hoyeruyas Trumas and Maishas. They should have got the Trumas and Maishas. V'zeu Vidui Maisa She'es Kiru Chazal. That is what we're referring to. When Chazal say Vidui Maisa, that is what we're referring to. Moide ani ki godl avoni shegoramti levar hakodesh min habayis. My sin is great that I've done trumas and maestros. Va'af al pishin osati lelevi vuzulasa kmitzvoscha. Even though I've given it to the Levi, to the Kohen, to the Levi, exactly as you have commanded me, ani mispalo shetashkif hashkofel letoiv mokam hashkofel lera haruyim ba'avoni. In other words, what the Sefarno is saying is that you're right. I've done everything I need to do, but even that, I'm agreeing, I'm admitting that this is all a plan B. That what originally, what it should have been is plan A. That we're falling short. Maybe I'm not, I didn't do anything myself to cause plan A to switch to plan B, but I'm aware that the whole situation is b'di'evet. And therefore, it's a vidui on the whole concept that this is not how it should be. The Trumas and Maestros should be given to the Bechor and not to the Levi. Now, something that my friend mentions this Sefarno, and he says, he makes a very interesting observation. What emerges from this is that there is a recognition that even though we seem to be doing things kalocha, exactly as we should, it's still a very b'di'evet situation. So I'll give you the example, just an analogy which he actually gives. We're now in the thick of Elul. We're just short of a week away from, a week and a half away from Rosh Hashanah. I had the zechus of being in Eretz Yisrael earlier this week. I had a chasna as I was there for 24 hours. So in the short time I was there, I managed to go into the Meir Yeshiva. And I always try, if I can, to pop in and to see old faces. And Baruch Hashem, I had the zechus of meeting with Binyamin Finkel. Binyamin Finkel is the mashkiach in the Meir. He's known as Binyamin HaTzadik. Now, I remember this is when I was there learning that many years ago, his father, Arya Finkel, was the Mashkiach. And he was even then, the son Binyamin was known as Binyamin HaTzadik. And he's one of the towering Torah personalities of our time. So I had the zechus of seeing him in the short time that I was there. I was thinking to myself afterwards that most of the Bachrim there nowadays don't remember Arya Finkel, his father, who was the Mashkiach when I was there. I remember very clearly that when he davened for the Amud, his father, Arya Finkel, Mashkiach, would daven for the Amud and Yom Nuraim. And I remember thinking when he was davening, he's crying at places in Chazor HaSashat. I didn't even think it appropriate to cry. Like, why is he crying there? That seems to be quite a bland statement to cry. And you cry in Misalat Tokev and other places, but why there? And that's where they'll never see Arya Finkel. But I'm sure when I was there all those years ago, there were people thinking, looked at me, that poor fellow has never seen Reb Chaim Shmulevitz and never seen Blazer Yehuda Finkel and his father, the Alter of Slobodka, and Yisrael Salanta. But that's how it goes. You go back to those generations and Elul was Elul. You felt it in the air. Yisrael, Yisrael Salanta would stand up in Elul and people would, there's talk of people when they said Mevorach Nachodesh for Elul, Rosh Chodesh El Yir Bayoim, people started shaking. We're so far away from that. So we're not doing anything wrong, but there's an awareness that the whole situation is b'di'evet. That's what the Sefarno is saying. That I recognize that I'm doing everything as I should be doing it, but still it's plan B and it's not plan A. That's exactly what the Sefarno is saying. So it's called Vidu Maestros. Chazal coined it as Vidu Maestros. We've done what we should be doing. But there is a Vidu as an awareness, a recognition of the fact that the whole situation is a plan B and not a plan A. And this is not quite what HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially had in mind. That's the interpretation of the Sefarno. Okay, let's move on. There's another very interesting lesson that emerges from this parsha. In Pasuk Gimel of Perek Chavov, which talks about Vidu Maestros, the Pasuk says, "Uvaso el ha-kohen, asher yiyeh bayom mahem." You go to the Kohen, "V'omar to elav," and you say to him, "Higalti hayom l'Hashem Elokecha," etc., etc. And you make this declaration. You give thanks for your good fortune of being able to bring Trumas and Maestros. Now, Rashi famously says, why do you make this declaration? Says Rashi, She'ein chakofu toiva. You shouldn't be an ingrate. You shouldn't be ungrateful. She'ein chakofu toiva. Now, you probably will come across this Rashi many, many times. That's what Rashi says. That's why we say this parsha. So you stand up and you declare your thanks that you shouldn't be she'ein chakofu toiva. You shouldn't deny the goodness which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you. I came across this year in this sefer that I recently bought, the Sitcha Elyon. He asked a great question. Look at the penultimate box of the page. Yitoche, sorry, Tzorich Lehovin. Madua Oimer She'ein Chakofu Tova. Why does Rashi express it in that sort of negative way that you're not an ingrate? That you're not denying the goodness which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did? Yoyser Matin Hoyoloimar Shani Makir Tova. Why not just express it in the positive? Just say, V'omar Tzelov, say Rashi, Shani Makir Tova, that I recognize the good that you have given me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why She'ein Chakofu Tova, that you're not denying the good? Why in the negative? Interesting observation. But listen to his answer. Fascinating. Yitochin, perhaps. Toiva Shakodish Baruch Hu Itonu, the chesed, the goodness which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. Koi rabbis fa'atzumus. They're so manifold, they're so great. Sha'aliba de emes, that according to the truth, einenu yuchaynim lahakir toiva karoi. It's not really possible to fully acknowledge and express our thanks for all the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done. Because as much as we can appreciate and recognize and articulate the good which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, it's a drop in the ocean of all the chesed which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. With our parents, with kol ha'dor shekidmu, and to actually go back and trace back all the chesed, shein b'li sof hashir. You know, there was a clip that some months ago that my wife told me about this clip. There was a fellow who every morning would get a Starbucks coffee. And he enjoyed his daily coffee fix. And one day he decided, you know, he would always say thank you to the fellow at Starbucks. And then he thought, you know, it's not, he's just the last guy on the chain. He's the guy who just actually makes the coffee for me and gives it to me. But there's so many other people involved in this whole process. You know, the guy who picked the coffee beans in Colombia or wherever they come from. And there's so many other people in the process. So he made it his mission to at least once in his life to thank all the people who were involved in the whole chain. And there's a 5 minute or 10 minute, whatever, I'm not sure what, a YouTube clip about the whole process, a program maybe about it. And he went through all the people involved in the chain, and it actually gets your mind thinking a little bit. So you got to start thinking of the fellow who made the order to bring the coffee, and the fellow who actually works in the office, and the fellow who drives the truck to bring the coffee, and the pilot, and all the whole airport system, and the people, and it just, it's endless. It's endless for this one cup of coffee. So this is really what he's saying. Yichle hazman v'lo nigma l'sapech chasod v'tanu. So when it comes to all the chasod, that's just one cup of coffee. But all the chasodim in our lives, the ches which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to us, as he says, yichle hazman, the time will pass for lo nigma, we won't have time to finish all the chasodim, to express all the ches which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done to us. Lachain, and therefore, ma sheyochel hu rak lomar, what you can say is, she'ein kofi tova. I'm not denying the goodness. To say that I'm makir tov, and you're actually expressing all the chesed, all the goodness, that's almost impossible. Better to express it, I'm making this declaration, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm thanking you for the benevolence which you have shown me, she'eni kofi tova, I'm not denying the goodness, but to actually express it in the positive, that's almost impossible because it's endless. There's too much and too much detail to even begin to say. Okay, let's move on. We then have, of course, the pasuk does say at the end of this parasha I mentioned before, v'samachta b'chol ha'tov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you your harvest, and you shall rejoice in all the good asher nosim lecha Hashem lekecho v'esecho that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to you and to your household. V'nosata la'levi la'ger la'yosem v'la'almona. And you shall give it to others, la'levi, to the levi, he is the beneficiary of the ma'isa, and the kohen gets the truma, of course, la'ger, the convert, la'yosem, the orphan, la'almona, v'ochlu b'sharecho v'soveyu. V'omar tzu lifnei Hashem lekecho b'yartza ha'kodesh min ha'bayis, etc. And you make that declaration. Now, in this pasuk, the Torah is teaching us an absolutely critical life tool. What is that? That is a tool of how to be happy. This is probably the elusive goal of not just our generation, the 20th century, but perhaps of all time. Right? In the Declaration of Independence, Jefferson called it the pursuit of happiness. And that's the problem, because it's exactly that. It's a pursuit of happiness. It seems to be this elusive goal that it's very hard to actually reach. Yeah, the mechanical rabbit that is always ahead of the greyhound when he's chasing around the greyhound stadium. It's impossible to actually find. But yet, in this week's parasha, the Torah tells us exactly how to find happiness. How does a person find this elusive goal of simcha? And the answer is, v'somachta, you know how you become happy? V'nosata la'levi la'ger la'yosav almona. You take the gifts and the blessings which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has blessed you with, and you share it with others. When you give to another person, and you share, and you become a giver and not a taker, that is the success, that is the key to happiness. And that really is echoed in a Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchas Yontov, coming towards the Yontov season, Ukhushu Eichel v'sheise. This is the Rambam in Hilchas Yontov, Perek Vav Halach Yudches. An amazing Rambam. Ukhushu Eichel v'sheise, when a person eats and drinks on Yontov. Now a person is obligated to eat and drink on Yontov. Part of Simchas Yontov is to enjoy meat, wine, nice food. When a person is eating and drinking on Yontov, Chayev l'hachil l'gele yosem v'almono. He's obligated to help others, the ger, the yosem v'almono, imshar hanim hamlolim, with others who are less fortunate than yourself. Avomi shenoel delosis chatzere. But someone who closes the doors of his courtyard, v'oichel v'sheise, and he eats and drinks, hu ubonov v'ishle, him and his immediate family, v'ein l'machel u'mashkel aniyim, and he doesn't help others enjoy the delights of yontov, ulamori nefesh, and those who are embittered souls, ein zu simchas mitzvah, that eating and drinking behind your closed doors is not a simchas mitzvah and a simchas kreisei. It's just sort of gladdening your stomach. It's simchas kreisei. It's a very powerful expression of the Rambam. And I once heard from Rabbi Rosner an interesting connection between the beginning of the parasha and later on in the parasha. Because later in the parasha, you have the Teichacha. It's a long sedra, Parshas Ki Sovei, and a big chunk of the sedra, the second half of the sedra, largely, is the Teichacha. The Teichacha is the stinging rebuke, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, says, it's Moshe Rabbeinu talking to Klal Yisrael. And all the terrible predictions, which in Nebuch we have seen, certainly in the 20th century, that have come true. These ringing, terrible predictions of the low points of Jewish history. The Teichacha, all the terrible tragedies that have befallen the Jewish people. And interestingly, there's a posuk, a very strange posuk, and you'll go to shul on Shabbos, the Baal Kura will go quiet, he reads this bit quietly. He doesn't want to shout it too loud. He sort of want to get it over with quietly and quickly. So when you go to shul, you haven't suddenly sort of had a momentary lapse in hearing. It's the Baal Kura. It does it purposely, quietly and quickly. And interestingly, towards the end of the Teichacha, if you look at the second box, it says, all these klolos, these curses will come across you, or dafucha v'sigucha, ki leshamat b'kol Hashem lekecha, because you didn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lishmar mitzvosov chukosov, to follow his mitzvahs and his chukim, asher tzivcha. And this is a very, very hard pasuk. Why did all these things come about? Tachas asher lo yavadato es Hashem lekecha b'simcha v'tuv leivov. Because you didn't serve Hashem b'simcha, with happiness, v'tuv leivov meirov kol. Now, that seems very hard to understand. Because we didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with simcha, all of these teichacha, all of these terrible rebukes and punishments that have pre-warned come about, what does that mean? You know, you think about doing mitzvahs with simcha. So you can picture someone, you know, shaking his luluv with islamas. So I didn't shake my luluv with tremendous simcha, then all these things come about. So Rav Rosner says, no, that's not pshat. The simcha is referred to as the same simcha we referred to in the beginning of the parasha. The simcha over there is a simcha of sharing. You take the blessings and the wherewithal which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you, you share them with other people, that is what generates simcha. But if a person lives with that approach that, you know, I'm in it for me, and life is just about getting as much pleasure as I can possibly get, then that is a very slippery slope. That hashkofa is so warped that it's just the beginning of the end, and it's a downfall spiral. That explains how a person could sort of slip so far that he could do things, all crazy, terrible things, because his whole outlook is about me and not about what you're really here for. The blessings, the opportunities, the talents which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you is to use more widely. And therefore he says, Tachas Hashem Levatos Hashem Lekecho B'simcha V'tuv Leiv of Meir of Kol is referring to that type of simcha. That connects, interestingly, with the Gemara Shabbos. The Gemara Shabbos in Kufnim Gimel says a very interesting thing. The Gemara says, Om Rabbi Yechmin Zakai, he's talking about the world to come. And the Gemara says, Moshe Lemelech Shezimenes Avoda Lesuda V'loi Kovel Lehem Zman. He says, this world is like where a king invites his friends to a Suda, and doesn't fix a time. He doesn't say when the party is going to be. Pikchin Shebohen, the wise of those who were invited, Kishtu es atzmon v'yoshva pesach beis hamelech. They dress themselves up, they get ready, and they wait at the entrance of the house of the king, and they're ready to go. They're ready whenever the king says, come now to the party, to the banquet, they're ready. Amru klum chosel beis hamelech. Fine. Tipshin shibohen, but the foolish amongst them, hol chulim lachton, they just carry on with their work, with their lives. Amru klum yeshudav l'terech. No, don't worry, we'll just rock up whenever the king says. And all of a sudden the king says, now, banquet has begun. Those wise men who have prepared and they're ready, they can walk into the banquet and they can enjoy it. But the tipshin, the foolish people, they go in, their clothes are dirty, they're coming from the fields, and that's the analogy. Now the Gemara goes on and gives different expressions of these analogies. And the Gemara says, at one point, Eilu ve'elu yoshvin, both the wicked and the righteous are sitting there. Halolu oichlin v'halolu re'evin. Halolu sheisin v'halolu tzmeim. The tzaddikim, who lived meaningful, productive lives, would enjoy the suda. Those who didn't live a life of Torah mitzvahs, they will be re'evin, they will be tzmeim, they'll be hungry and thirsty. How does that work? What does that mean? They're both sitting at the same suda. So how can a person sitting at the same meal, some be hungry and some be full, some be thirsty and some be quenched? It's the same table. So the Baalei Musa give the following analogy. Baalei Musa say the following. He says, we're living in a world where people do not have elbows. What does that mean? So imagine your arms are outstretched. So you haven't got elbows. Now if you've got a beautiful banquet with all delicious food in front of you, that is incredibly frustrating. You try eat without bending your elbows, without bending your arms. How are you going to get the food to your mouth? So you're sitting there and you've got delicious food in front of you in the banquet and drink and food and you can't do anything about it. So you're all sitting at this banquet and the tzaddikim and the rishonim all sitting there and the rishonim can't do anything because they've got the food, they can't actually bring the food to the drink to their mouths. What about the tzaddikim? The tzaddikim in their lives are so used to being not self-centered but outward focused. They're taking the food and they give it to the next guy. And the other guy opposite you is feeding you. So the tzaddikim are enjoying it because their whole life has been a preparation for that outward focus where they automatically help others. So the tzaddikim are enjoying the delicious food and drink, but the rishonim who don't entertain the possibility of helping others and they're just totally self-focused, they're sitting there, I can't eat, I can't access the food. That's just an outcome of the definition of what we're saying of simcha. That simcha is to give to others, to share. And therefore, in the afterlife, in the world to come, Tzaddikim and the Rishonim can be sitting at the same table. Some can be eating, some cannot be eating. And that, I think, also fits in with an interesting Rashi in last week's Sedra. I'm off after this to a chasna. I told my chasna this, and he said this at his offer of last Shabbos. He said the following idea. This is, I can't remember where I saw it, but I heard it in the name of Rav Palm. Rav Palm, the great Rosh Shiva in America. Ki yikach ish isha. This is last week's Sedra. Ki yikach ish isha chadosh lo yitzu b'tzara. A person who gets married, he's exempt from army duty. Noki yele beso, he's clean, he's exempt from going. Shona achas, for 1 year, he's got his shona rishona, he's going to stay home. V'simach es ishto asher lokach. And he's misamech the ishto asher lokach. So that's perhaps the precedent of shona rishona. I once heard my father-in-law told me, he was walking down Goldscreen Road, and he sees a young guy who got married sometime, fairly in the recent past, he got married. And so my father said, oh, Shalom Aleichem. And this guy was a bit sheepish because he was walking down Golden Roads a bit late on a Shabbos morning heading to Shul. So my father said to him, he said, Shana Rishayna, right? So you're exempt from the army. So he said, yeah, but I got married a year and a half ago. So my father said, in Chutzlars we keep 2 years. Right? So he's exempt for a year. Yeah, Noki Yela Beis Shana Achas. V'simach es ishta shelocha. Now Rashi says something very interesting. V'simach, says Rashi, what's the pshat? He should be misamech, his wife, what does that mean? Yesamach es ishtoi. That means he should gladden his wife. The targumoi the yachde yos itase, which means he should gladden his wife. Says Rashi, v'hametargim, but someone who translates it as v'yechde yos itase, not v'yachde, but v'yechde yos itase, which means he shall be glad with his wife. Toyehu made a mistake. That's not how you translate this pasuk. Because she'ein ze targum v'shal v'simach el v'somach, because that's the translation of the word v'simach and not v'somach, and the pasuk says v'simach es ishtei. Now, many of us will read the Rashi and will say, this is a grammar Rashi, this has nothing to do with me, and move on to the next Rashi. But sadly, you're missing a gem if we do that, because Rav Palm says the most fabulous idea. He says, what's Rashi saying? The pshat is v'yachde yos itasei, which means that v'simach es ishtei means that you should gladden his wife and not be glad with his wife. What does that mean? There's a massive difference. Glad with his wife means that I'm there to have a good time. Marriage is going to be all about what I can get out of it. And me and my wife life is going to be fun. I'll be glad with my wife. Says Rashi, that's not pshat in v'simach es ishtei. Simach es ishtei means he has the responsibility to gladden his wife. His job in life is to make sure that his wife feels $1 million. Not that he's there to have a good time. There's a huge difference. That's exactly that's our theme from this week's parasha. That the samachto means, what is the root of happiness? By sharing and making other people happy. Ironically, it will have the effect, it will make him happy. But if your focus is what I can get out of it, then you're in trouble. He adds, by the way, that who says this? Or Tversky. But Abraham Tversky says, I'll finish with this, the Sheva Brachas, we say, one of the Sheva Brachas seems totally out of place. All of them seem, Samechos Nemakala, Ashebara, beautiful. But there's one of the Sheva Brachas which seem totally incongruous, and that is, Shehakol Bor Lichvoidei. That's it. So I was a chuppah 2 days ago, someone stands up, Baruch HaTashim HaKim Mechaylam, Shehakol Bor Lichvoidei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything for his honor. What's that going to do with marriage? So Rabbi Tversky says it has everything to do with marriage. Again, same idea. A guy goes into a wedding and he says that I'm in it for me. And even she turns around and says, this is about me. Then if everyone's talking about their own honor, then it's a disaster. But if a person realizes I'm in this world to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the focus and the center of my life, Shehakol Bor Lichvoidei, then I'm living with a different perspective. And I'm entering this marriage for Simach Es Ishtei, to make her happy, to be Mekayem Mitzvahs, to live a life of Torah and Mitzvahs. So that's the starting point. Shehakol Bor Lichvoidei. That's really what it's all about. So it has everything to do with marriage, really. So there we have it. So three ideas that we've shared this evening. Number one, the Parsha Vidui Maisa, where, as the Sefarno is saying, the Vidui, we've done everything right. We've given our Trumas and Maisas, but the Vidui is for what could have been, and the plan A, not the plan B, for where we really should have been, and not where we are now. The second idea of being grateful, that Rashi says, She'ein chakofi toiva. Why don't we just say, Shani makir toiva? The point is, it's very hard to express fully all of the chasodim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, and the best, in some level, all you can say is, that it shouldn't be a kofi toiva. And then the final idea, of what true happiness is. True happiness is sharing, and perhaps that is the connection with the Teichocha of Tachas HaShelovat HaShem Rekecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Leivov, with the idea from the Gemara in Shabbos and the idea of making his wife happy, of a Simach Es Ishto, because true Simcha is by making sure and facilitating and focusing on other people. Kol Tov, be well, I wish you a very good evening.
Thank you very much.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.